Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Hebrews 2:14 says that through death, Christ destroyed him who has the power of death, that is the devil.
Amen.
Today we have a devil-destroying radio program, and we hope all of our listeners will stay tuned for it. This is Matt Miller, and I'm filling in for Chris Wilde, and with me for today's program is Francis Ball. Francis, I'm glad you're here with me for this program.
I'm more than glad to be here. This is really an exciting program today.
You know, in the last few weeks, we've covered 2 of the first 4 major items in the book of Luke, and those were his incarnation and jubilee. And today we're going to start on the 3rd major item, which is resurrection, and then we'll finish up next week with ascension. So, Francis, would you give us an introductory word on such a wonderful topic as resurrection?
Well, I'm so grateful to this ministry, Matt, that we've been brought into so many details of Christ's incarnation, his human living, and recently in his death, and then more recently we saw the matter of the Jubilee, and now we're on the matter of resurrection. It's so strange that there were some, even in the first century, that were saying that there is no resurrection. And I'm afraid many, many, even Christians who believe in a resurrection or believe in the resurrection of Christ, but they don't realize what a big word this matter of resurrection is and a big event. And I'd just like to read from 1 Corinthians 15 a few verses that deal with this problem that came up at that time when Corinthians was written, because some were saying that there is no resurrection. So Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 12 of chapter 15, "But if Christ is proclaimed that he has been raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is vain. Your faith is vain also. For if the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." So it's very important we see this matter of the resurrection. Today we're going to cover particularly the objective aspect of resurrection, that this is the fact God did raise him from the dead, and we're going to see that Christ raised himself from the dead. For today's program, I think we have a marvelous study into the resurrection.
I agree. It's wonderful, and I'm glad I could have the opportunity to be part of it. Francis, in this first section, we're going to see how God vindicated the person and work of Christ by raising him from the dead. I counted 12 times in the book of Acts alone that it mentions that God raised Christ from the dead. If you're going to criticize someone, you'd attack their person and their work. And that's exactly what God vindicated when he raised Christ from the dead. He vindicated his person and his work. Let's join Witness Lee.
What is Christ's resurrection? His resurrection is God's vindication and approval of himself. And also, God vindicated his all-inclusive redemptive work. In other words, God vindicated the person and the work of the man-savior. You know, with you and with me, we all have these 2 aspects. Our person, what we are, and our work, what we do. People criticizing others always do these either concerning others' person or concerning others' work. In the 4 Gospels, a lot of oppositions, especially by the Jewish leaders, to the person of Christ and to his works. Concerning his person, they said he was possessed and he was crazy, right? And concerning his works, the Pharisees condemned him to the uttermost, that whatever he did was a blasphemy to God. So they rejected him, and they denied him, and they condemned him. They killed him. But God came in to raise him up. And this raising up was a vindicating. God vindicated the case. There had never been one who died and who was buried, yet he was raised by somebody. In Acts, a number of times, God raised him up. God raised him up, probably more than five times, because the entire book of Acts is a book of the testimony of the resurrection of Christ. The apostles' testimony was one of the resurrection of the man Savior. Paul, in Romans 4:25, says, Christ was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised up for our justification. I tell you, the resurrection of Christ is a strong proof Amen. That God has been satisfied Amen. And that God has accepted Christ as our Redeemer.
Francis, Christ's resurrection really proved that God approved of Christ's person and his work by vindicating him and raising him from the dead. Isn't this a wonderful fact?
This is very encouraging. These are the objective facts, that God raised him from the dead, and also we'll see that he raised himself. But this is God's approval and God's vindication of all that Christ had done, all that he had said, and all that he was. This resurrection of the dead really vindicated God and showed that he approved of everything. You might say that he said to these opposers, these Pharisees that opposed him so much, that the one you opposed, I have approved. I approve what you condemn. You say that Jesus was blasphemy, but I approve what he did and what he said and what he was. You thought you could put him to death. On the cross, he suffered your persecution. And he accomplished my redemption. I approve of his redeeming work, his accomplished redemption, and I planned it in eternity past. So what man was putting down and through lawless men put him to the cross, God approved by his resurrection. It's quite important that it says in so many places, as you pointed out, that God raised him from the dead. It's one thing, as we'll see, that he raised himself. But it's something else to say that God raised him. That means God approved of everything that he was and everything that he did, and he fully accomplished redemption.
Wonderful.
Amen.
In this next section, we're going to see another wonderful item, and that is the fact that he destroyed the devil through his death.
Wonderful.
And I'd like to read one of my favorite verses in the Bible. That's Hebrews 2:14, which talks about this devil destroying death. It says that, "Since therefore the children have shared in blood and flesh, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the might of death, that is the devil." The devil, Francis, was destroyed by the Lord's death.
Amen.
Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
Well, how about this troubled thing in the universe? As far as human beings are concerned, what is the troubled thing? The troubled thing is death, Satan, Hades, and the grief. This troubled thing. The answer is here. He was not only vindicated by God, he overcame death, and he destroyed Satan. Now, Hades is under his fate, and the key of Hades is in his hand. And grave, he came out of that. You better spend some time in 1 Timothy. Christ was manifested to nullify death and to bring in the indestructible life. He not only defeated death, he nullified death. Death has lost its power. Christ has nullified death, and he has also destroyed Satan, the power of death. Of course, if you nullify death and overcome Satan, Hades is under your feet, and tomb is nothing to you. So his resurrection tells us that he has nullified death and destroyed Satan. There's no problem any longer in the universe. The problem in the universe has been fully dealt with. So his resurrection is not only God's vindication, but also the dealing, the nullifying of the universal trouble.
Francis, I really enjoy this victory over death, that Christ's death nullified the universal trouble. I was recently at a funeral, and it was a young girl, but she was a believer, and there was something there that brought comfort to the hearts of so many in the middle of their grief. The grief was still there. The sadness was still there to lose a precious one. But I have to testify that just like Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:10, he said, Christ nullified death and brought life and incorruption to light through the gospel. This young girl was saved. She was definitely a believer. And as a result, the victory over death was there.
Amen. Death is such a big ghost in front of people's thoughts all the time, always worrying and afraid of death. But we have to realize that there's not only death, but there's also resurrection.
Amen.
And even now, we can experience the resurrection that really nullified death and doesn't need to give us any fear anymore. The devil destroying death of Christ has really ended all of our fear of what Satan can do. He can do nothing. And death has become of non-effect. Death has lost its power and even its taste. We don't have to taste death if we really realize that we are in resurrection. He's victorious over death. He's victorious over Satan. And his resurrection is victorious over Hades and the grave. So we don't need to be so sorrowful. We need to be serious, but we don't need to be so sorrowful at the going of people. It's appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. We need to be aware that resurrection will come, even for all of us, and we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We are forgiven of our sins through his death, but because of his resurrection, he has breathed his very life-giving spirit into us, and he has enabled us to live according to God's desire and prepare us for the judgment seat of Christ. Not only will the world be judged and the unbeliever judged, but with the believers, there will be such a thing as a judgment after the resurrection. So we need to be aware that we need to be ready for that. But this does not need to cause us fear, because Christ has been raised and that resurrection life has been breathed into his believers. And we now have another life in us that can really bring us on to victory day by day.
You know, you read earlier in the program the verses from 1 Corinthians 15 about the fact of resurrection, and as you were reading them, I was thinking of, in the same context, the resurrection causes us to live a sober life today. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals."
Yes, right. I noted here one time in verse 34 of 1 Corinthians 15, "We must live in the full knowledge of God, knowing that there is a resurrection and that we will be judged or rewarded." Even Christians have to realize that there is a judgment seat of Christ, and it will matter at the time of his coming whether we have been faithful living this resurrection life or if we've been just being corrupted by our immoral living.
Francis, I want to linger here for just a moment, because what you're talking about here in the two different judgment seats might be unfamiliar to some of our listeners, so I just want to dwell on this for just a minute. So what we're saying is that our initial salvation experience and believing in Christ will save us from the great white throne judgment that will send everyone who does not believe in Christ to hell, as spoken of in Revelation 20, verse 15. But there's another judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, as spoken of in 2 Corinthians 5:10, where all the believers will be judged according to how they live. And as you mentioned, living in the reality of the Lord's resurrection is living soberly and righteously today to save us from an immoral life.
That's right, and I'm afraid so many people have been just concerned about the death of Christ and what he did to forgive us our sins that they don't realize that there is a whole life before us after we receive Christ and are forgiven, that we must live for him and with him. So he tells us here in these same verses, he says, "Awake from the drunken stupor righteously." I think that's quite a warning word to all of us Christians, that we need to wake from a drunken stupor. We don't need to listen to these things that just cause us to be in kind of a dream. The facts are, we have the life of God in our spirit, and if we walk according to spirit, we will be prepared for the Lord's coming.
Francis, the world would really be a different place if more Christians paid attention to this matter of resurrection in their daily life.
My, I would say so.
When you go to a wedding, it's not quite as sober as when you go to a funeral. Because at a funeral, people are thinking about resurrection.
That's right.
I want to read a verse from John 12, 23 and 24 before we go on. This was right before the Lord went into Jerusalem at the end of his life, and right before his disciples thought there were going to be a big celebration and he's going to be the king, and yet he talks about he's going to die and and be resurrected. And he gave this example. He said, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.'" This is a picture of the Lord's dying so he could be resurrected.
Amen.
Let's go on to our last portion with Witness Lee.
The man-savior's glorification. We could only understand a little bit by the illustration of a grain of wheat. You see, here is a grain of wheat. Within the shell, there is life. If you keep the grain on the table, it doesn't die, neither does it grow. Right. But if you sow the grain into the earth, while it is dying, it is growing. And in its growing, it is glorified. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus' resurrection was the release of the divine nature and divine life within him. The shell of his humanity was broken on the cross. Then the contents, that is divine nature and divine life, came out. The coming out of the divine nature and life is just his glorification. According to New Testament revelation, when Jesus rose up from the dead, it was not only his divinity rising up, but it was also his humanity rising up. It was the God-man rising up. And this rising up of his humanity was a glorification. Oh, the man Jesus was glorified. Not only the Son of God was glorified, but the very man Jesus, the man, he was glorified. Humanity was brought into divinity. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a man.
Amen.
In glory.
Amen.
There's a man in glory today.
Amen.
When we say he's in glory, we always mean he's in heavens. Well, that's nothing wrong. But according to Luke 24:26, you know, on the way to Emmaus, he told those two disciples, "Why are you so sad? Why don't you understand the scriptures? Don't you know it is altogether right that Christ should have gone through all the sufferings and enter into glory?" So his resurrection was his entering into the glory. Hallelujah. God vindicated him, and he solved the universal problem, nullifying death and destroying Satan. And he also brought humanity into divinity. He is such a man savior.
He is such a man-savior.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful resurrection. I feel like this is a victory program.
Amen.
Francis, what final thoughts do you have for our program today?
He was glorified when his humanity was brought into divinity. I don't know how many Christians have a realization that the humanity of Christ was brought into divinity. He was glorified in his resurrection. Now, as Brother Lee said in that portion of the program, there is a man in the glory. This man is the uplifted human Jesus. This refers to his resurrection, which brought him into glory. Glorification means not only that the Son of God was released from his human shell, but also that the Lord's humanity has been brought into divinity. In his resurrection, his lowly humanity was brought into divinity. This was his glorification. So it's really meaningful what the Lord Jesus said to those two on the road to Emmaus. They should have known from the Scriptures that Christ must go through his suffering as he did, and that he should also be glorified because the Scripture said so. But they were ignorant of the Scriptures. I feel, brother, this has really opened our eyes to see more accurately what the Scripture says about resurrection. This is a marvelous study. I hope all the listeners would get this book and really see something more about the resurrection, not only that Christ has, but that we're being brought into. We can even live by this resurrection life today.
Amen.
Amen.
The whole book of Luke is available in a 3-volume set. This last set contains messages 51 through 79. But before I do that, I'd like to just talk real quickly about this matter of a shell. As we're talking, I can't help but remember, just last week I was in a funeral of my 16-year-old niece. And actually, 2 days before she was killed in a car accident, she wrote her personal testimony of how she received the Lord at an early age, and she testified in that written testimony, "Having a relationship with God has taken my fear of dying away." What a comfort those words were to all the family and friends. Francis, thank you very much for being with us. Well, we hope some light has come to the listeners today. And this is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.